Chair recognizes a long time valuable worker for the Republican Party, the Honorable Harold Stassen, former governor of Minnesota, to second the nomination of Richard Nixon.
Mr. Chairman, delegates, and guests across America of this 26th National Convention of our Republican Party, I rise with humility and forthrightness to second the nomination for Vice President of that very able and experienced Californian, the effective and earnest incumbent, the Honorable Richard Nixon. I do so as the climax of more than 3 years of close association with him and more than 3 weeks of sincere advocacy of another, with the clear conviction that Richard Nixon is the overwhelming considered choice of the duly elected delegates to our convention, and the belief that to do so is the most constructive and helpful step that I can now take toward the decisive re-election of our great president, Dwight D. Eisenhower. And as I second Richard Nixon's nomination, I immediately and earnestly urge the men and women of our country, and especially the independent voters, the members of organized labor, the citizens of the great groups who sometimes speak of themselves as minorities, and the new and younger voters who believe in the objectives of President Eisenhower, to join with me in cheerfully and wholeheartedly accepting the result of the convention of President Eisenhower's party and decide to work for and to vote for the ticket of Eisenhower and Nixon, which will be nominated here this night. And at the same time, may I respectfully plead of our Republican Party leaders, from precinct to national headquarters, that they give special thought and sincere invitations to these millions of independents and Democrats who do have a favorable opinion of our president to join with us in November. And it is of the utmost importance in a fundamental way in this regard, and in loyalty to the principles on which our party was founded, that from the smallest unit of our party to our national convention, it be made easy to dissent and respected to differ, because through this process, and only in this manner, can a party grow in vitality and in scope for the service of the nation. I know that our Vice President Richard Nixon will give every ounce of intelligent and devoted effort that he can command to strengthen the reelection of President Eisenhower and to carry forward the president's efforts for a just and durable peace in these next 4 years. And I know, too, that at his side will be a charming and beloved helpmate to carry her superb part in every task anywhere in the world, Pat Nixon. And this combined effort of President Eisenhower's entire team, thankfully, has been successful in establishing and maintaining peace these recent years. And hopefully and prayerfully, this peace may be continued through the trials and the tensions around the world in the period ahead. And peace is so important in this era of the H-bomb, this period of weapons of destruction beyond the calm comprehension of mankind. Peace is a crowning task which requires week after week, month after month of patient and persistent effort. And my fellow Republicans and fellow Americans, I have a quiet belief that the divine providence which George Washington spoke of in the founding of our nation is to be thanked that at this awesome atomic period in our history, we have Dwight Eisenhower in the White House. And I have a deep faith that under God, this devoted man will provide statesmanship for peace and progress of free men for another 10 years or more. You know, it's inspiring to note with each passing week the returning full vigor and inimitable vitality, even as President Eisenhower already carries brilliantly the full burden of the crucial major decisions of our nation at home and abroad. And I ask you, wouldn't it be wonderful if in the year 1972, Dwight Eisenhower would be with our Republican Party to speak at our 60th convention as President Hoover spoke this year in his 82nd year. Now you, of course, know that even as I urge other delegates and all Americans to join with me in an Eisenhower-Nixon ticket now, my action, nevertheless, does not foreclose any individual delegate in this entire convention from voting for any man or woman he may wish to support. And of course, it's not really necessary to explain this, since that unforgettable instance provided in 1952 by the delegate from Puerto Rico, Marcelino Romano, who is here again this year. He alone stopped the 1952 convention in more ways than one, and our party should ever be grateful to him. I pledge to my party. There he is. There he is, Judge Romati. And you know, he's one of the outstanding lawyers and a great advocate of freedom in Puerto Rico and in the bar of the world. I pledge to my party my wholehearted and all-out efforts toward the election of President Eisenhower and Vice President Nixon and the Republican candidates in the States of the Union. I expect that to be my course throughout the years of my life. There undoubtedly will be many future issues, including policies and candidates, in which I will participate as my conscience directs. But when the points of decision arrive, I will continue to be a Republican team player, whether in any particular preliminary test I lose or I win. And now I trust, as I close, this convention will permit me with a few words to express my deep appreciation to the delegates and citizen Eisenhower supporters in the nation who during these recent weeks supported my moves to maintain an open convention and to bring forward for consideration the name of the distinguished governor of Massachusetts, Chris Herter. And even as I thank them, I sincerely invite each of them to join in my decision for active backing of the Eisenhower-Nixon ticket. And through the continuation of President Eisenhower and Richard Nixon's leadership and the cooperation of the members of Congress of our Republican Party and also of the Democratic Party, through this continuation of cooperation and leadership, in my judgment rests the best prospects of reaching a sound agreement for the limitation and control of these new armaments of the world under effective inspection with aerial sentinels and reliable control. And this attainment would not only improve the outlook for peace, but would facilitate the acceleration of atoms for peace, contribute to the unprecedented humanitarian advance, and aid in easing of the burdens of people everywhere. And in all of this sense, and from this forthright background, Mr. Chairman, I take pleasure in seconding the nomination of the Honorable Richard Nixon for Vice President of the United States.